You ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? Look for her, let's say this together. Our Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive the revelation of the written word. There is no error, distraction, or contradiction in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He's glorified, and we're edified. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew's Gospel 28, we began in the second service to look at the subject of how to be the member of a church. And many of us do not know because, of course, the word member of a church doesn't exist in Scripture. We just adopted it in the days that we're in. So we want to find out who is the member of a church. Who is a member? Because unlike the days of the book of Acts, people join the church. They are invited. They hear about the church and they attend, which is beautiful and lovely. But let's see what the Scriptures teach so we can adopt and adapt. Matthew's Gospel 28:18-20. And he came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, is given me in heaven and earth. Verse 19 says, go therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the word make disciples, which is the word to teach all nations there, is our emphasis at this point. The way God builds his church is by discipleship. A disciple is the word matheteu, to make disciples, sorry, is the word matheteu, M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O, M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O, which means to train. So which means the local church is a place where you are trained. People think the local church is where you make use of your talents and abilities. No. That's absolutely not true. Now, you could get trained, then know what to do with your talents and abilities, but it doesn't come first. You are first and foremost a student. You are here to learn. Say, I'm here to learn. I don't think I heard you. You are here to learn. So, the first position you must take here is one who came to learn. Make disciples. So what we call church members now was called church disciples. Disciples of the church. Acts 6:1. Disciples were multiplied. The disciple, therefore, mathetes, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S, is a student. A student. A student. Someone who is a learner. Or an apprentice. And we said in the other service, what are we apprentices of? If you go to the teaching hospitals, you have what they call the internship. They call it housemanship for the medical doctors, and they are supposed to be learning even though they collect money. Hallelujah. They collect money to learn. And I think pharmacists too have, you have a year to like that. Do you have? Is it before you are done? After you are done? And you collect money too. Okay. Lawyers don't collect money. I don't think so. Lawyers don't collect money. That we do our own during the law school. So you don't collect money. But then what I'm saying is, if you are in a medical school, medical college, and you are a pharmacist, and then most of the training is to learn how to play football. You know? You know, it really means that you wasted your time. We must have a focus. What is the focus of this training? So, the focus of this training, and the church does not compete with universities. The church doesn't compete with business schools. The church should never be found competing with NGOs. The church has no competition in the earth because the church plays a very unique role. To make men disciples of Christ, to learn Christ in Scripture and by example. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. I am meek and humble at heart, which means that discipleship means we learn the character of Christ in scripture and by example. And so who is a church member? A church member, a member of a church is a disciple of that church. He learns in that church. He's trained. She's trained in that church. So we began to look at this in the first service. You could lay your hands on it. And so you have, we said, what are we learning from? We said, you are learning from Christ through the scriptures. So we said in the first service that you must know why you are saved. So we looked at three texts of scripture. We looked at Exodus chapter 5 verse 1 and 2, Exodus chapter 4 verse 22, and Exodus chapter 3. And we said God called Israel out of Egypt to have a feast for him, Exodus 5, to be his firstborn, Exodus 4, 22, and to serve him, Exodus 3 verse 12 and 13. So we said the purpose of salvation, a unique purpose of salvation, is to serve. The gospel has defined life for you. Did you hear what I'm saying? The gospel has defined a purpose for life. And I know there are churches, I'm not trying to criticize any, I don't have that kind of time, but who make some believers look like they have not started living life. Say, what is this? You're just born again. Is that all? They say things like that. Say, go and look at, what's this guy that owns Tesla now? Elon Musk. Look at him. He has found his purpose. Tell that to the believer. He said, go and look at Bill Gates. He abandoned college and he went for his dream. He said, go and look at Maradona. That was his sermon last week. He came from the outskirts of Buenos Aires. Now, I like Maradona. I love Maradona. I really do. Okay. So last week was Maradona's sermon. He looked within and he bought out football. You shouldn't be hearing things like that in church. Do you understand? That's not church. It's the same way if you go to, you're in law school, and then they are supposed to do maybe corporate law as they call it now. And the guy says, turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. And the guy begins to explain and says, you know, look at it in context. They say, maybe he's just doing evangelism today. Then the next period, I want us to examine 1 Samuel. Ah, you go and report that there's a problem here. He didn't say law of Moses school, Nigerian law school. Because Miles Monroe says, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So it's not wrong to learn that, but that's not the purpose of church. So when believers are feeling like they're not doing what they should be doing because of those kind of sermons that don't emanate from scripture, then we're wrong. Very wrong. So our discipleship is to make us students of scripture by precept and by example. So we looked at the man. I'll just go over very briefly for you. We picked out on Abraham, and we said, Abraham was called the servant of God. Who was Abraham? God, by his own speech, said, Abraham is my prophet. He's a prophet. Genesis 20 verse 7. The word prophet is spokesperson or preacher. Nabi, in the Hebrew, N-A-B-I or N-A-B-I-Y, is my prophet. He said, Abraham was God's prophet. Which means, he was God committed his words to his hands. The prophet is one that you give your words to. Go and say this on my behalf. When Jesus called the 12 and said, go and preach the gospel, those were spokespersons. So Abraham was God's spokesperson. And we said, what else? When God called him in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, said, get out of your father's house, of your kindred, to a land that I'll show you. Abraham left his wealth, affluence, and his house, and he became a pilgrim in the earth. Which means that even though he had his own house and city, he now became a missionary. So he wasn't building any house again. He will build a tent, a temporary location, knowing that his mission is for all the earth. We're going to get into that in detail in the World Changers Conference. Hallelujah. He was moving from place to place, from nation to nation. Himself and his children, Isaac and Jacob. Look at Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Glory to God. Psalm 105. Verse 6. O seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob is chosen. Now, go to verse 11. Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Verse 12. When they were but a few in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. Take verse 13 together. Come on, let's go. The 13. They went from one nation to another. Hallelujah. From one kingdom to another. What were they doing? Look at 14. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake. Why? 15. Come on. Touch not my anointed. Do my preachers no harm. So what were they doing from nation to nation? They were announcing God's promise. So they ensured that all their decisions were temporary. They made decisions in the light of their mission. They built tents. Tents. The writer of Hebrews says that, you know, they dwelt in tents. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Temporary things. So we said, number two, Abraham obeyed God. Number three, we said, Abraham moved with all he had. He never dropped his job. He was still an herdsman, a farmer, an entrepreneur, a businessman. That didn't stop. But he committed all he had for that purpose. All he had, he committed to that cause. What else was he? Said Abraham was a man of prayer. He was the first person in scripture that we read about that prayed for others. Genesis chapter 20. That should be verse 13 or 19 or so. Genesis 20, where he prayed in Abimelech's house. Sorry, that's verse 17 and 18. Then in Genesis chapter 18, he prayed for Sodom. He rescued Lot. So he was a man of prayer. Who is that servant of God, a man of prayer? So we said, you are saved to serve. Say, I'm saved to serve. That's in the first service. You can listen to it. You are saved to serve. Just like God, the Son, came to the earth to serve. You are saved to serve. Hallelujah. You are saved to serve. Say, I'm saved to serve. That's what you are. You're saved to serve. So, it is, what is your purpose for living? I am saved to serve. Hallelujah. How do you serve? You serve as God's spokesperson. You serve with all that you have. You serve with your obedience like Abraham. You serve in prayers. He prayed for the sick. He prayed for the sick. And the sick recovered. The whole household. He prayed for a nation to avert destruction and danger. Was also a man who gave. A generous man. A generous man. He saw a man of God. A prophet of God. A priest of God. From Salem, Melchizedek. And he gave a tenth of all that he came from the conquest with. A man of honor. In their culture, they used to take 10%. It wasn't started by God. To honor people. Abraham saw. You know, he didn't. He saw kings of his domain. But he gave it to a man who was a priest of the Most High God. Of all the kings that he saw, he turned to the king of Salem. Which means, he knew that the servants of God deserve more respect than human governments. He did that. Than human governments. Abraham did that. I was sharing this in the meeting I was in yesterday. Some of us, we respect earthly things. If they give you an appointment now to meet the richest man in Africa, I'm sure you get there very early. I've had an appointment like that. I got down from the car. I took Okada. I got down from the Okada. I was running. I ran. The elevator, they said we have to wait. That is going to the third floor. I was just moving up higher. I got to the man's office, he gave me an appointment for 8 o'clock. I got there 7 o'clock. He didn't see me until 1 a.m. I didn't go. I've been done not to start. I sat. For a human person. At the end of the day, the entire meeting was less than 20 minutes. No, 10 minutes. 20 because he attended to other people in my presence. How are you? But when we have an appointment in the house of God, who is there? Is it not Bro Beckley? I will explain to him. I'll send him text. Sir, I just want to tell you that I won't be able to be born again. We do that. But Abraham respected the priest of the Most High above all the kings of the earth. Something to learn from. Then we saw in Genesis 13, Abraham was God's agent of love. He said in verse 8, when there was verse 7 says, there was strife between his herdsmen and the herdsmen, the workers of Lot, his nephew. Abraham said, let there be no strife amongst us, for we are brethren. Hallelujah. Paul will now write in 2 Timothy 2:24, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Titus 3:2, he must not be quarrelsome, a brawler. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not a fighter. I'm not a brawler. Glory to God. We said that word Meribah. It means to complain. To complain. To complain. To complain in the home. Don't complain. Don't complain. So it was like complaining. Every little thing they complain. And whenever we complain, I showed you 1 Corinthians 10:10. He says that they were destroyed of the destroyer. Every time you murmur, you are playing the devil's game with him. Satan has something on you. Brother Hagin said, every time you feel irritated, you feel you've been mistreated. Brother Hagin says, Satan is working on you. Because that's what Paul said. You feel it's legitimate that you are protesting. You are angry. You are showing your mind. But that's how the devil works. I went for a conference years ago. I'm going to share about that. I mean, this is the service I will talk about watching just conference. And I was, you know, we got to the conference. We all paid, but they now gave us a room that was not comfortable. It was not even a room, it was a classroom. They gave us one mattress for two people. And the classroom was open to the heavens. There was no window shield, nothing. Brethren just raised their voice. $9.95. No way! I can't take this. After all, we came for a camp meeting, oh. People traveled from far and wide. No, we shouldn't take this. This is not. I said, 1 minute, please. I said, do you know what? Today is Friday. We're leaving on Monday. We won't die before Monday. Trust me. I was in the boarding house. This was luxury. I had a senior who made us sleep. He said we should pour water on the floor. Room 7, field house. He said, sleep there. I'll make your life miserable. We slept overnight. I'm here. One said we should sleep on the grass and begin to count the stars like Abraham. And I'm here. He said, brethren, by Monday when we're through with this camp, we'll sleep on our water beds. We came here. They said, don't tell me that. I'm not a sweat Christian. No, I'm not. I said, I'm not here for this nonsense. So I just found my space on the bed of God. And I slept there. You must know your purpose in life. What are you complaining about? Murmuring is a sin. Did you hear me? Say it very well. Say, murmuring is a sin. You are home. You think it's right. Murmuring towards your husband, your children, your wife. Towards everybody. Sound like you. Say, is this person? Is this person? Is this person? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is me. That's not you. That's the devil. But we are all unique. We are all unique. See, don't let anybody suppress your personality. You have that unique personality. You are glorifying the devil. If God wanted everybody to have their own personality, who give you his spirit? He gave you his spirit so that he will change your personality. What's the end of being born again? If I'm supposed to retain my personality, why did I get born again? I'm supposed to ensure that my personality adapts and adjusts to the life of God. Did you hear what I'm saying? Abraham said, we be brethren. We cannot have bitterness. And I told you in the first service, don't, as a ministry. Now, in 1990, a preacher I respect a lot, he just said this. I didn't even know then that I was going to do what I'm doing today. He called us. We're young boys. He said, never get involved in strife. I reminded him a couple of years ago. He can't remember. I said, never. He said, anything that has strife cannot glorify God, and the Spirit of God cannot move. So I made up my mind. Never to be engaged in strife. Strife destroys whatever God is doing. That's why Paul screamed in Corinth. Why are you acting like mere men? 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3 and 4. James said that there's confusion and every evil work. He said this wisdom doesn't come from above. It comes from demons. You feel you have been mistreated. You feel they should have given you what belongs to you. Strife, bitterness, envy, jealousy. They will not come in double portion. Get rid of it. See, I don't work in strife. Don't see another ministry. And then be looking at them. Only God knows what they are using. What are you using? You. What are you using? What are you using? What are you using? Sometimes we just get unnecessarily uncomfortable because others are doing well. So I walk in the spirit. There's no strife here. There's no bitterness here. There's no envy here. Because I have a purpose to live for. I'm saved to serve. So Abraham was a man of prayer. A servant of God. If you're a son and you're not a servant, you're not growing up. Service is a proof of growth. Abraham grew in his career. He became wealthy. Yes, he did. He advanced in his career. He did. He had more businesses, more employees. He was rich. But you know what? That was not what he was known for in the kingdom of God. He was known for a man that despite his affluence and influence, he submitted everything for the cause of the gospel. That's why he could tell Lot, take whatever you have. He was not a man who was materialistic. He said, no, you can have it. We are brethren. We are brethren. Let there be no strife. When some brethren fight over money, they will tear shirts. One brother told me like this in 1998. He said, don't mention any Bible rubbish here. Pastor, it's not rubbish that he used. What he used cannot be used here. That's why I use rubbish, because rubbish is in the Bible. This one was not in the Bible. So don't give me all that. You know. I said, serious. So I told his friend of his, who he was talking to, I said, this guy's mouth is going somewhere. You don't use your mouth to talk about the things of God like that and remain in the service of God. I know that simple principle. Use your mouth well. Praise the Lord. The world says say your mind. God says, caution your lips. There's no freedom of speech for believers. There's control of speech. It's swift to hear. Slow to what? Speak. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Abraham was a servant of God. He knew that. So in the first service, we began to look at the import today in our world. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, we are called co-laborers with God. 2 Corinthians 6, 1, we are co-workers with God. And Jesus in Matthew 20, from verse 25 to 28, tells us how we must serve. He said, you will give yourself. Say, I give myself. You give yourself to it. So we began to look at the import of that. I was there in the local assembly among believers. Now, I didn't say this in the first verse, I'm going to talk about it now. You know, in Exodus 15, verse 11, when children of Israel came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, they sang that popular song, who is like unto thee, O Lord, who is like unto thee, O Lord, amongst the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises, doing wonders, hallelujah. That's our own. That hallelujah part is our own. But you know something? It's a song of salvation. They had just crossed the sea to us, left the world for God's world. And they sang among the gods. Now, today, when we say gods or idols in our minds, we go to our villages in a shrine. No. An idol is anything that begins to dictate to you above God's word. Anything that takes your attention. Idols can come in form of ideas, concepts, in form of things that you watch and listen to. Idols can be your own idea, your own philosophy. Some of us idolize how we think. We idolize our ambitions. An idol is one that you give your attention to at any cost. Today, for example, our devices can become idols. I know believers who cannot be in this service 1 hour and not use their phone. They want to check a message. They want to send a tweet. They want to check something. That has become an idol. Some cannot even pray without just checking their phone. You are actually focused on the phone. Some idolize themselves in the service. They are lifting their hands. I see the camera. There was one video like that. Our first television video some years ago. You know, this fellow was in his hands already. I saw the camera just there. I just said the time. It's on TV. I said, this brother. You know, some of us idolize ourselves, idolize our beauty or handsomeness, both ways. It's me now. Sometimes you idolize your intellect. That when someone is preaching and the person doesn't speak good English, you switch off. Why? Is good English the word of God? No. You switch off. You say, what's he saying? I want someone that will say, hallelujah. The context of a pretext. That's the war. Hallelujah. I got no idols. Amen. 1 John 5:21, John says, stay away from idols. Keep from it. Stay away from things that take your attention. Man made things. An idol is something made by man that begins to dictate to you. Ideas. Some of us worship blogs. You take all your ideas, your philosophies from life, from a blogger. A random speaker. Some of us will worship social media influencers. Anything they say. It's true. It's true. Your pastor is speaking. You are trying to judge what he is saying. An influencer is speaking. You receive it. Are you not mad? You submitted your life to wrong spirits. You despise the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I got no idols. Come on, say that. Say, I got no idols. I serve God with the whole of my heart. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, Paul begins to give us the example of those who are living purposefully. So who is the purposeful Christian? It is a servant Christian. Now, don't get it wrong. We saw Abraham. Was Abraham doing well in his career? In his business, right? As a father, he was doing well. Was an example there too. Did he have failings? He did. But he also had very great examples. But Abraham was known as a servant of God. So Paul begins to give us the story of service. Romans 16. Who is a member of the church? A member of a church is not someone who comes for the services. No. A member of the church is not someone who loves the church. No. A member of the church is someone who has submitted himself to be trained in the church. And the fruit of it is service. If they ask you now, you came for third service. I'm going to ask you, did you serve? You said you came for third service, church service, but did you serve? So Paul begins to roll out, because I said much of that in the first service, the second service. Paul begins to tell you the kind of believers that should be found in the churches. Romans 16. Turn there quickly. Romans 16 verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, sister, which is servant of the church, which is at Kentria. What does he say about her? She has been a succorer. Verse 2. Of many. She has been a helper. Someone who is there to assist in trouble of many. Are you like that in your church? What else? Greet Priscilla and Aquila. What does he call them? My helpers in Christ Jesus. What did they do? Let's take verse 4 together. Who are for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks. If this sister or this couple were to be in some places today, they would say they have been manipulated. They are being, how can you put your neck for one person? That's what it is. That means that they're taking risks. Put their entire life on the line. In service. A couple. Husband and wife. What a couple. Not the one that the wife will say, take it easy, darling, honey, sweetie, easy. Or the other will say, are you the one that killed Jesus? Nope. The two of them work together to serve the Lord. What else? Verse 5. He says, there's this Epagatos, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. First fruit means example. Let's take 6 together. Greet Mary, who did what? Bestowed much labor. Verse 6. Oban, our helper in Christ. Verse 12. Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved persons which labored much in the Lord. So what is the emphasis? Labor. Who is a member of a church? One who labors in the church. A church you just come to just hear the word. You are not yet a member. Like Jim Reeves said, this church is not my home. I am just passing through. You are just passing. If it's your local church, you will labor. You labor. So Paul identifies the kind of believers that should be found in the churches. In 1 Corinthians 16, we now saw a key word there. And verse 15, are you in church? Are you in church? Let's take it together. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Let's go. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia. Now, he said that in Rome, which means that it becomes an example to all the churches. A good example is a good example. he repeats this brethren again. He says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Let's take 16 together. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helps with us and labors. So who should you submit to in the local church? Those who labor. Not your cousin. Not your friend. Those who labor. Those who put their life on the line. Those who ensure things go well. I was telling them in the first service, there are people who will get here at 6 a.m. It's not that they have nothing to do with their lives. No. Don't assume that people that serve the Lord have nothing to do with their lives. That's ridiculous. I'll repeat it again. I shared the history. Get up, brother. He leads our church in South Africa. He has two churches that he founded. He went there for his PhD. It's now done. Clap for him. Come on. Founded two churches. And he has to fly, right? Every Sunday. From, that is, he holds a service here, then goes by air for the service in the next church. We don't give him a dime. Clap for him one more time. Sit down, brother. So when people serve, it's not that they have nothing to do with their lives. I'm sure that when you see him outside, some people believe that we're a church of very young people. I look at them. Did you give your birth certificate? Did you give you our birth certificate? Did you write it on our heads? If you see him now, you know, you just see him in the class. You say, bring out your textbooks. Ah, you won't know who he is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So those people don't have anything to do with their lives. They just come and pray because they are not looking for money. Who's not looking for money? No, yesterday I was preaching somewhere. So I said, you know, I have passion for souls. They were not listening. They were looking serious. So I said, I'm also looking for money. They paused a bit. They looked up. Said, let me say it again. I'm looking for money. They now laugh. I said, you are all hypocrites. Is it wrong to look for money? Don't you look for it? Is it not in your pocket? If it's evil, why is it in your pocket? Okay, if it's evil, give me the one in your pocket. I'm trying to say that it's not that people have nothing to do with their lives. Just like Abraham, they have just put priority to what they do. And for everything that you give excuses for, there's a brother and a sister who is doing exactly what you said you couldn't do. They labor. Who is the member of the church? One who labors. Look at this word here. In verse 15, they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The word addicted is the word tasso. And I explored that word for us in the second service. It means to ordain yourself. To set yourself in a position where you can always be called upon. There are some of us, we can't call upon you. You just switch off your phone. 3 days. You see, how you know someone that is available in a church is that in 24 hours, you have communication. Let me tell you how to know that you are not really useful here. Your pastor, your leaders have nothing for you to do in a whole week. A whole week. And you are not afraid. A whole week. You see yourself on Sunday. Ah, bless you. That was a great service. Ah, I was blessed. You were not blessed. If you were blessed during the week, you will be addicted to service. A whole week. They're gone. These ones put themselves in a position that you can call upon them. Hallelujah. I shared with you, we had less than 24 hours to prepare for Believers Convention. Because we're given a shocker. 48 hours to the meeting. And we're all mobilized. There are many of you like that. You just stayed at attention. You waited. Some overnight. Those are the members of the church. To make sure it happens. Overnight. By the time we got the venue, late on Thursday, people were moving. Pow, 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 pow. So, I remember the Friday, somebody was telling me, the signal wasn't clear. I said, is it not better than no signal? As I thought, there was no signal. You won't see signal. But some people made it happen. Some slept overnight. While you were lifting your hands and just singing in tongues. Some people were singing in tongues tired. Because they put their necks on the line. Those are the members of a church. At the last convention, what did you do? You just came to lift hands. And you gave what? What, Abby? You gave prophecy. And tongue interpretation. It's because some people made it happen. That's why you can even have utterance and entrance. Who is a member of the church. Someone that has appointed himself or herself to be used. It's your choice. It's your choice. Make yourself available. Availability is the first rule in church commitment. Availability. That you are available. So we, as soon as they got, they came to lockdown, you just locked down your spiritual life. Your phone just went into the third heavens. Whereas some people, it was that period that they grew the flock of Christ. Some, it was that period that they began to raise more disciples. And you were all in the same situation. Availability is the first thing, that you are available. You can be seen, you can be spoken with, you can be heard. Addicted themselves. So in the second service, we said the first thing, be available. Be available on time. Be available on time. Don't get there at the wrong time. It's better you are there waiting for the service to start than for the service to be waiting for you. Imagine if you got late on the day of Pentecost. You just said the text to Pastor Foke. Pastor Foke, actually, my uncle's brother's wife's son is getting married. He said, I have to go. And you went. The day of Pentecost now came. You'll be among those who say, what's going on? Because you were late. When Jesus came to his disciples, they were sleeping. He took them to pray. He said, let's go and pray. They were saying, Lord, prayer group. Groanings which cannot be heard. Jesus came back 1 hour. Said, Peter, James, and John. What's going on? He said, Pastor, sorry. And they held their hands. All of them, the deal, in one accord. When he came the third time, they were now ready to pray. That was a bit around 5 a.m. When the glory comes upon you. He said, Pastor, now we have washed our faces. He said, sleep on. That time has passed. You don't have all the time to do the will of God. Be there on time. Be there with the people. Be there in the right place. I'm going to share something after this session to prepare your hearts for things. Whenever you are late, let me even say it now. Whenever you are late for a meeting, you will never know what you missed. And you know this story I'm about to share. I go for a conference in America yearly, held by Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Because it's a time for me to prepare, train, and get taught, and get blessed, and get ministered to. So, that particular year, I went through United Kingdom. It was very long, the trip, because I went through British Airways. So it was very long, and there were stopovers. So I was already feeling very, very uncomfortable. I had planned how I was going to tell myself, I won't make this first session. I confessed it. I won't make the first session. I'm going to sleep. I'm tired. I'm just preaching. Because I left on a Sunday. So I preached services. And I just went to the airport. So I said, you know, I preach now. I'll get the city. So, you know, and I like to talk to myself a lot. So I told myself, I said, are you okay? You left Nigeria to go and sleep. Kind of useless like that. You left Nigeria. You now travel to go and sleep. Should have stayed behind and slept. Then when you are awake to life, then you go. So I told myself, okay, I'll go. Because how would I bear it in my conscience? So I go to the service, you know, feeling really tired. thinking I'll see my own friends there. Brother was supposed to be there with me, so we'll see ourselves and all that. But he didn't come. So I got there. It didn't take long. The minister just said, there's a preacher from Nigeria. Ah. So I said, wow. And I got in there, and there was another guy who came in from United Kingdom who said, no, not a Nigerian preacher from Nigeria. I was the only preacher from Nigeria. You know, if I wasn't there, I would never have known what I missed. Because I just wasn't there. And there are many of us who have missed such appointments because we gave heed to our flesh and to our emotions. And so when in life we begin to struggle and we're not effective, we have forgotten that we are despised time. And so be there with the right people. I said number two, be open to be taught, to be instructed and corrected. Your local church is where you are taught, corrected, and instructed. Any believer here now who opens himself to social media pastors is not a member of this church. A member of this church listens to us here. If you don't trust them in a church to guide you strictly, then go to another place where you will find that. Don't become a church hustler who has double personalities. You are here and you are there. A rolling stone gathers no moss. Stay in one place where you are open for instruction, correction, and to be taught. We said it's also a place where you are to do more. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So I'm going to ask you, what is your testimony in this church? Look at Acts 6:2. If they ask about you, is it your car we're going to talk about? Or the way you dress? Because there are people here. What they pay attention to here is who wore expensive shoe. I know. Some is the kind of car people brought. Some, they will gauge you and know, this guy must be working for Upwardly Mobile. Some are looking for wife. I know. Some are looking for both, husband and wife. I'll explain that later. Acts 6, when there was need among the saints, the apostle said in verse 3, look among yourselves. 7 men of honest report. People that, whether they are in the service or they are not in the service, if they are on social media, they behave themselves. If they are anywhere, they behave themselves. Honest report. Full of wisdom and of the Holy Ghost. Let us choose those men. If they ask about you here, what are we going to say? That sister that is always complaining. That brother that is always late. That brother now that is always late. That brother that is always giving excuses. That sister now that is always sleeping. That sister that never comes to a prayer meeting. What kind of report do you have? Because your local church is where you will know your spiritual life. Amongst you. Look at Acts 16. Paul saw a certain disciple, verse 1, named Timotheus, son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was Greek. Look at verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren. Well reported of. The brethren said, take this guy. He's reliable. He has served in the technical unit, always punctual. Prayer group never missed it. Study group always doing it. Has disciples in the church. This fellow, no. When we have to give for anything, he doesn't give excuses. Even when he has given and we say there's still more, he goes to give. Pick this guy. In Acts 15, the same thing was said about Silas after Barnabas left. The church said, we recommend Silas to you by the grace of God. The church where you are, if you're a member, should be able to say those things of you. Acts 9. A certain disciple, verse 36. Tabitha, Dorcas, full of good works and harms. She was known. They knew she was full of good works. That's why Paul says, when you have a widow, before you support a widow, find out, is she well reported of? So, going through challenges is not an excuse not to be faithful. Acts 11. Talking about Barnabas. It says, Barnabas, he was a good man. Verse 24. Full of the Holy Ghost. He was a good man. The church knew him. In Acts 4, he was called a son of consolation, known by the apostles. The apostles gave him a nickname. This brother is reliable. Imagine the nickname by your pastor is reliable brother. Or SKP. Or brother, this brother that is sick of excusitis. The sickness, oh. Excusitis. Excuse, sir. On Monday, I won't. On Tuesday, I can't. On Wednesday, I shan't. On Thursday, I... Everything is not. I cannot, I will not, I should not. Bro! Sis! Even in the book of life, your name is cannot. But to look for amongst us. Who are you amongst us? Who are you? In Exodus 18, that's how the elders were chosen. In Numbers 11 too, same thing. You must have a good report of service, availability, labor, if you are a member of a church. I always tell you, the local church does two things for you. It destroys selfishness, where you live for yourself. It also destroys pride. Selfishness means you are going to serve others. Pride means that others are also going to help you. Are you a member of this church? If you are in a church, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they are not considering you for any responsibility over lives, there's a problem. I call someone and say, you've been here for years. Why did your pastor not recommend you? That's wrong. He should recommend you. I'm sure your pastor has books of life about your excuses. Your excuses are bigger than these, our God. Understand, there's three. Because you are always giving complaints. Who are you? Who are you? To be that effective person in the house of God, you need to be punctual. You need to be there. You need to be effective. You must be punctual. Don't get to church late. Some of you will come from around here, and there are those who will come from very far, and they'll be here before you. Don't you know you're already judged? Some of you have cars. You can easily get here, manipulate your ways. Some people will come with inconveniences and they'll be here. Those are the right examples of believers. Because the service of God is judged by the inconveniences that you face. Punctuality. In Luke 19:44, Jesus cried to over Jerusalem, said he did not know the time of their visitation. They were asking for the Christ after he had come. In Acts chapter 1, Peter says, if we're going to put somebody in this responsibility to fill the space for Judas, look at a key element there. I'm going to ask you whether they can say this of you in your zone, in your fellowships, in your churches. Can they say this about you? Acts 1 verse 21. Wherefore, he says, of these men which have accompanied with us, one. Acts 1:20-21. Let's look at it. Come on. Wherefore, these men which have accompanied with us, how many times? Most of the time? No. All the time. That the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us. Say all the time. All the time. Punctuality is faithfulness. To be a member of a local church, ensure that you're punctual. Number two, ensure that you are orderly. Orderliness will mean you know who you are talking to, when you are supposed to talk, when you're not supposed to talk, and who you must listen to. You must be orderly. The opposite of that is to be unruly. Hallelujah. Let me use this example I oftentimes use in places. Let us all be talking at once. Don't be saying anything. Say anything. Don't speak in tongues, though. Say anything. Raise your voice now. Say anything. Can we hear ourselves? We can't. Until you are all quiet, then I'm talking. Now, if somebody is beside you talking to you, you cannot hear me and hear the person, right? That shows you. You become unruly the moment you are listening to two voices. Don't be unruly. Find out the voice that God has chosen in a place and submit to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you in church? 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's look at it. Verse 12. I want us to read it together. Let's go. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 12. If you are there, say amen. If you are there, say amen. Now let's go. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And look at it. You should know those people who labor among you. These are in the body of Christ. Huh? These are in the churches. Nope. Among you. And are over you in the Lord. So when you begin to talk about who you are in Christ, you are under people in Christ and admonish you. Let's take verse 13 together. Let's go. To esteem them very highly. Go on. Then there will be peace amongst you. Or else, verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are what? So when I don't esteem those over me in the Lord highly, and I don't submit myself to them, Hebrews 13:17, what have I become? Unruly. Nobody wants an unruly member. Unruly. One who will do his own thing, or our own thing, our own time. That brother, it's when he wants to come that he will come, oh. It's what he wants to do that you do, and you are proud that they're saying that about it. That's a bad report. It should be said that you are obedient, accountable, and submissive. So number one, punctuality, orderliness. Three, activity. A member of a church must be functional. You must be doing something. What do you do here? Don't say I'm writing notes. You should not write it. Say I'm writing notes. I'm learning the word. No. Activity. What do you do? Romans 12:11. Paul says, be fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Don't be slothful in business. Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. You must be effective in activity. Some of you have joined departments that you have never attended for one day. Abba. They even gave you prayer group. You won't show up. You are now a prayer point. They gave you cell. You won't be there. They gave you fellowship. Mm-mm. You are not a good example. Look at Proverbs 25. Are you in church? You must be functional. Functional. You must be doing something. And for those of us who are already doing something, you must continue. Did you hear me? Faithfulness is not in the past. God, that's why I told you, nothing wrong in celebrating anniversaries, I just don't celebrate it. Of ministry. Because I know that it is at the end that you know whether you are faithful or not. If you serve for 50 years, then 52nd year, you got discouraged and you walked away. That 50 years is in vain. Is in vain. God only rewards faithfulness. It's in vain. Let that sink. Proverbs 25, verse 19. Let's take it together. Go on. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and what? Some of you have had a broken tooth before. I've had one. It's like hellfire. You know how it looks like? You can't eat with it. You can't remove it. Is that not it? You want to pull it out. You can't eat with it. And the pain is severe. That's how an unfaithful member is. He will keep coming. You'll be seeing him. Ah, I'm here. That's all. That's my church. To who shall we go? The word is there, sir. Prayer meeting. Zero. Study group. Zero. Evangelism. Zero. But it's there. It becomes a broken tooth. A foot out of joint. You know the foot out of joint? You can't walk with it. You can't remove it. You sure can't tell somebody who is in joint, don't come again. You go. I see later. Glory! Woo! Hallelujah. After workers meeting, glory! Like Philip is out. After saying, hallelujah, I will serve you for the rest of my days. Then Brotune says, all workers should wait behind. The rivers of Babylon. Who said, sir, sorry, can I see you, sir? What do you want to see me for? Sir, if you had told us last year that we're going to have this meeting, I would have come. But the notice is very short. I usually require 2 years' notice before I come. There are people like that. There are others there who had planned to do other things, but as soon as you say, we have something to do, they are available. You will begin to rest. Some people, when they give you reasons, you won't read it again. Overward. Go. Just go. I've not been reading my Bible. I've not been reading your stories. But when I left on Monday, in fact, my boss said this, and this, let me attach the reports to you. Then on Wednesday, and then at home, my neighbor's dog beat somebody. The person was my visitor. Oh God, on top of evangelism. Evangelism, you have written epistles. Ha! Ah. Why don't you have disciples in church? Pastor. I have. They just don't come. I have. They just don't come. That's not a disciple. Yeah, I know, sir. I'm working on it. Since when are you working? Since 3:17 about Macaulay. But I'm on it. You are an unfaithful man. Unfaithful woman. I'm going to ask you, what do you do with the prayer meetings? Are you there? The outreaches, the Holy Ghost meetings, workers meetings? Are you faithful? Do we see you at the right places? If we are like this on the Sunday service, are we like this in prayer meetings? If we call for a prayer meeting, would we have this number? How will you be in a church? All you attend is Sunday service. These things ought not to be so. Church is more than Sunday. What did I say? It's more than Sunday. We do other things during the week. And you must be there. Are you at those meetings? Outside this service, the prayer meetings. Tomorrow we're going to be here at 6 o'clock through to Friday. The outreaches, the Holy Ghost meetings, the workers meetings, the outreaches. Are you there? Okay, I can't make Tuesday. Make Thursday. I can't make Thursday, make Friday. I can't make Friday, make Saturday. To do outreach, oh, not prayer. Oh. I can't make Saturday, make Sunday after service. Ah, that's the only rest day I have. Keep resting. You are a useless member of the church. That's what you are. If everyone were to be like you, what do you think we'll be doing now? We arrive when you arrive. We come for the meetings that you came for alone. We give what you give. What do you think we'll be doing? If you as a believer, you are not inspired by the labor of others, what will inspire you? If Jesus were to appear to you in a vision, he won't inspire you. Lastly, a member is one who gives material things. I'm going to ask you a question. How much have you given this year to serve the Lord in this church? How much have you given? How much do you give? You should give so much that you give when the need arises. Because you are faithful. You are faithful. You are committed for needs to be met. Because every church knows we have emergencies. Extra things to do. We have things we have to carry out quickly. We have the needs of members to also be met. Are you available like that? I told a brother one time, he just bought a car. I said, this is a good car. I said, sir, you're giving us to increase. Oh. Sir? It has to increase. 1 Corinthians 16. Let each man lay in store as he has bought a new car. Is that not in the Bible? Is it not in the Bible? Epistle. Hallelujah. In Luke 8, verse 1 and 2. 2 to 3, Luke recalls some women that ministered to Jesus of their substance. Why was Barnabas called the son of consolation? You know why? Because he was always available to support materially. A characteristic of a leader that will be effective in ministry is one that is generous and giving. Because when you choose leadership, 1 Timothy 3 says they must be hospitable, generous people. Do you give? We are taught to give. In Acts 11, I'll close here. When they had been taught well and taught for years, the moment a need came, and they said, Jerusalem is in trouble, the brethren came together and gave. When you are well taught, you will give well. When you have received the word well, you will give. Brethren that we have to wind to give are unfaithful brethren. Hallelujah. Are you a member of this church? Are you an effective person here? Are you faithful? Are you serving in Saints Community Church? Are you serving? Is this your local assembly? And are you serving in this house? Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Pray. I want you to consider what you do in this house and ask yourself whether it's effective. Are you available at the right time, in the right place, the right people? And if you are already, pray that you continue. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Pray for yourself right now. The rest of the weeks of 2020, you will be addicted to the ministry of the Word of God and to the saints of God. Come on, pray. Pray for yourself right now. Pray right now. Pray. Go ahead and pray. The rest of this year, you'll be available in your church, in your zones, in your fellowships. Pray. Stop giving excuses. Pray to be available. Your age is not an excuse. Your challenges in life is not one. Not one. Pray. Pray. Come and pray. You came for a church service, but did you serve? Wherever you are, lift your hand and surrender to God and say, I make myself available in this house, in this church, to be used by others, to be called upon to do things, to pray, to preach the gospel, to give, to be instructed, to carry out tasks and duties. Commit yourself right now. Father, I just want to serve you. Father, I just want to serve you.